Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Neil Stewart Associates, for inviting me to speak on what's currently my pet topic, on the role of agents in international student recruitment. But before I get on to my pet topic, I wanted to start with a brief moan and then perhaps a warning. First, the moan. Don't you really hate it? I certainly do. When vice chancellors, when vice chancellors and other senior people involved in higher education say, now that students are paying fees. Certainly in my world, and I think in the world of many of you guys here, international students have been paying high fees for a very long time. Those of us working to recruit and support international students have had to be very conscious of students' expectations of service from well before they join our institutions, and the very real competition that exists for international students, both from within the UK but also worldwide. And in a way that our counterparts working in the home market, certainly at least within the Russell Group universities, have no idea of. We've had to be very conscious that students' experiences of our universities begin well before they join us. Unlike many of our home students, international students rarely get the chance to visit our campuses before they make that incredibly, possibly life-changing investment of a lifetime to come to our universities. We've had to think about how our actions in the recruitment process reflects on our universities and our ability to get to our target prospective students and to get them to think about joining us over our competition. We've had to think about how our often UK-focused publicity materials reflect internationally. We've had to think how appropriate and aware of our admissions processes for students with very different types of qualifications coming into our universities. We've had to think about how we respond to inquirers and then make decisions on their applications, and how appropriate our responses are to people thinking of making an investment of maybe £80,000 plus in an undergraduate degree in our universities. I think that international students need and deserve a level of personalised support and service commensurate with the level of investment that they're making, not just in monetary terms, but in the sense of the life chance that they're putting into us. And certainly that I would expect if I were making an investment a fraction of the size that they are. And then my warning to us: what international students want and need today, home students will expect tomorrow. And rather than spending good money on consultants, and perhaps conferences, some of the topics that I've seen discussed over the last couple of years through Neil Stewart's, is looking at the student experience in light of the tuition fees. No, let's look at the experience that students have already had that have been paying high tuition fees, and maybe look to our colleagues who have been working in the international environment and see if there are things that we can learn from them. I think that all students deserve good service, whether they're UK students, overseas students, TNE students, students taking the whole of their degree programme with us, or maybe mobility and exchange students, even if at times they need a degree of tailored professional support. So, that over, let's get on to the topic in hand, working with student recruitment agents. I imagine that this topic's on the agenda today for a couple of reasons. First, it highlights the really important point that an international student's experience begins well before he joins our universities. And we need to give greater thought to the recruitment process, what it says about our universities, how it ensures that we recruit the right students for our universities, and by right I mean those that will succeed and benefit from the experience of being with us, and how we support and prepare those students who've accepted our offers before they actually arrive in our universities. And secondly, I imagine it's on the agenda because it's a reflection of how incredibly important agents are to us. And in helping the majority of our UK universities meet international student recruitment targets, and of course, associated with that, a very significant cost. I'm going to try and cover quite a lot in this next 15 or so minutes. What are agents? Why do we use them? I want to talk about the agent-university partnership and the changing role of agents. I want to touch on student income and recruitment costs, and then end a little bit with some words about some of the frameworks in other parts of the world around the agent-university-student relationship, and briefly the London Statement. And then end with maybe some questions for us. So, what are agents? Well, the UK government provides a very helpful website, an export website. I've provided the link. Although you can't see it very well there, you'll see it when you get this thing and you can click on it. And the UK government tells us, very straightforward, export agents act on our behalf by introducing us to overseas customers. And they generally charge a commission for their services. The website very helpfully goes on to say that an agent gives us information and contacts in our overseas markets. It helps us to identify and make the most of opportunities overseas. And it perhaps cuts the costs of undertaking activity overseas directly by negating the need for having your own offices overseas and employing and recruiting staff. And agents allow us to do this all while keeping control over our product or service, the final price and the brand image, when, for example, compared to a distributor, an alternative kind of model, the franchise validation or some forms of T&E model. All of the factors listed on that government website that I showed you apply to universities. Put simply, we use agents because they're effective in helping us to meet volume, income and other student recruitment-related targets by giving us access to markets that we sometimes find difficult to recruit from, Pakistan, Nigeria, because in some markets it's a normal expectation for a student to use a consultant, an agent, an advisor, places like India and Taiwan. And because we don't think that we can achieve our targets effectively by working on our own. With the exception of a minority of Russell Group universities here in the UK, almost all other universities make use of recruitment agents. And we're no different at Nottingham in that. We place a great deal of value in our work with agents. And as well as spending more than £1 million a year on commission, we also put a great deal of time and effort in supporting and valuing our agents. You're not going to get an agent bashing session today. My criticisms of our relationship with agents is not directed at agents, it's directed at us. One of the differences at Nottingham is that we really do not make any secret of our work with agents. Directly from our website, you can get details of all of the agents we work with and the basis of our relationship with them, including how much we pay them. We also look at agents as a separate and distinct market, and we market directly to them, and we give them privileged access to internal university resources. I was talking at a conference before Christmas with somebody from the school sector who described agents as the super parents, the parents that keep on giving. And I think that's an attitude that we adopt at Nottingham. We think they're incredibly important and need our support. And so we also have a team of dedicated staff whose sole job it is to support the agents from the UK, account managers if you like, so that our agents receive a strong level of support from us and direct suitable candidates to Nottingham. I first got involved in international student recruitment more than 10 years ago. And I think at the time, many of our agents worked directly for their university partners, often for a very small number of universities. And I think the university's brand at the time was key. It was the important factor. I think at best, the agent was an extension of this small number of university brands. And their services to prospective students were generally free. And universities, in return, paid direct marketing costs and commission, usually at 10% of the first year's tuition fee. It was a partnership, but one where I think that the universities held the upper hand. Our brand was key, and the agents were very little without us. I think that we, universities and agents, have come an incredibly long way since those early days, to such an extent that many agents have become brands in their own right. Cross-region agencies like UK EAS in Taiwan and Nigeria and the Philippines and elsewhere now. IDP, which started life off as the recruitment arm of the Australian universities, but which now represents Australian, UK, US and universities from all over the world and in locations around the world, and big agencies that specialise in India, like the Chopras. One of my concerns is that we, as universities, have let the agents take the upper hand, and we've let them become too powerful, so much so that I think our own brands have sometimes been overshadowed by those of the agents' own brand. In addition to direct student recruitment, agents now offer a whole range of services, from student counselling and placement to pre-departure briefings, English language classes, standardised tests. They even make flight and accommodation arrangements for our students, and even sell SIM cards back in the home country, ready for the student's arrival in the UK. The agents now earn their income at a whole range of levels, not just the traditional 10%, incentive and target bonuses, and increasingly on this additional set of services that they offer. And some agents, in fact an increasing number of agents, and in some countries it's normal practice, like in China and Nigeria, for the prospective students for whom we pay a commission for the counselling that they receive on our behalf, to also pay the agent for the services that they receive on our behalf. And of course, agents now represent lots of universities, and they often represent universities in lots of different countries. They're no longer specialists just for the UK. One of the reasons that I've been spending quite a lot of time talking and writing about agents over the last couple of years is because I genuinely enjoy my job and I want to keep it. And I think that means that international student recruitment needs to pay. You can pay however you define that. But I think that that's especially the case now that home students are paying fees that in many respects are very similar to those being paid by our international students. And as a sector, we're incredibly good at talking about the income that we get from international students. Speakers earlier this morning talked about, well, the figure that I have from the HESA data is £5 billion, but we heard of £7 or £8 billion annually coming into our universities, about 10% of our income. But, you know, we're really hopeless when it comes to talking about the costs of international student recruitment. According to the most recent annual benchmarking exercise undertaken by the Australian University International Directors Forum, the average cost of recruiting international students to those Australian universities was about 13% of the international income that they earned. But as you can see from that slide, the range of costs was huge, from at one extreme 5% and at the other almost 40% of tuition fee income at that institution was going on getting the students in the first place. Now, unfortunately, the Brits in this room, and even the Italian, have not been as open as their Australian counterparts, and we're really hopeless at sharing data. A few British universities got together back in 2006 and 2007 to do exactly the same benchmarking exercise that the Australian universities keep doing annually. The good news is that according to that survey, the Brits are more efficient than the Australians, with the average cost of recruiting students just 9.3% of international tuition fee income. But the range of costs was just as great as that in Australia. And you know, remember that recruiting the students is only part of the story. And also remember that that was in 2006, and a hell of a lot has changed since 2006, that I would suggest has seen our costs increase significantly. The same Australian benchmarking exercise that I reported on also said that last year 61% of all new international students admitted to Australian universities came through an agent. And again, you can see from the slide that at some universities, it was every single student recruited came through an agent. I genuinely don't think we're very different in the UK to the position in Australia. And just like the Australians, one of our biggest costs in international student recruitment to our universities is commission paid to agents. The Times Higher Education undertook a Freedom of Information exercise last year, which suggested that UK universities spend about £60 million annually on recruitment agents. I think that's a significant underestimate based on the Australian data and the fact that we know that almost every university uses agents. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong in that level of spend. It's just important that we understand the costs properly if we're going to ensure that international student recruitment is going to continue to be worth it. But also we need to really remember that as well as the direct marketing and recruitment costs, universities need to factor in the increasing costs of supporting students while they're in the UK, meeting our compliance responsibilities, as we heard this morning, to the UKBA. And that all of these costs hit us before we start the teaching process of a population of international students here in the UK that are increasingly here just for 1 year only. The biggest expansion in international students here in the UK hasn't been at UG and PGR level, students that are going to be here 3 years. It's been at 1 year master's level. But unlike the situation in Australia, New Zealand, or even the Netherlands, the UK doesn't have any legislation or even a formal code regulating the way we work with agents. The British Council's been running training courses for agents now for some years, but it's aimed very much at improving the way agents work. It's not directed at us and improving the way we work. I think the British Council are doing a great job in that respect, so it's not a criticism, I'm just pointing out a gap. The training that the British Council provides provides a whole series of benefits for the agents, but also for us. It gives agents, confers a status, British Council trained. It allows those agents to be recognised by what I think we would all agree is an authoritative body. It ensures the agents listed on various lists that we and prospective students can look to. And, you know, and it gives them a certificate to display in their offices to prove all of this and show their worth. But again, to emphasise, it's very much aimed at the agent. The British Council, the Australians and the New Zealand counterparts, and Pat Killingley was there, I was going to put her picture up, but I knew she was speaking, launched the London Statement last year to improve the way agents work. And it's seven principles you can read, but it's very much focused on improving the business ethics of agents, ensuring that they provide good, accurate, honest information to students, that they develop transparent business relationships with students, they have written agreements with students, that they think many agents also work in the school sector, they're recruiting under 18s to the UK, that they think appropriately and protect the interests of minors, that they provide appropriate current and up-to-date information that enables international students to make informed choices, obviously that they act in a professional manner, and that consultants work with destination countries and providers to raise the ethical standards of their work and best practice. But what about universities? Shouldn't we be meeting those same principles? Shouldn't they also apply to us? As I think you can tell, I think there's a need for much greater scrutiny of our work with agents. And while we don't have anything as formal as the Australian ESOS Act, we do have guidance provided by UKISA and the QAA, which I think could help. I would suggest that as a bare minimum, we need to ask ourselves some basic questions in our institutions. Is our work with agents consistent with the values of the UKISA Code of Ethics? Does it meet the requirements outlined in the QAA guidance on international students? Are you happy to publish on your websites, as Nottingham has done, the names of all of those organisations and individuals that you pay commission to? And I don't just mean those formal agents, those companies, those organisations. I mean those secret agents that exist in our universities, those school counsellors that we pay commission to, the schools that we pay commission to. And if you do pay commission to schools, or school teachers, school counsellors, ask yourself some basic questions about it. How would you feel if your son or daughter was at a school where the careers advisor's advice was potentially influenced by which university was paying them? I certainly think that my son at his school deserves good, clear, independent advice from his teachers and not influenced by how much a university might be paying them. And I can tell you today that there are universities here in the UK that pay commission to schools, school counsellors overseas, we know that, but here in the UK too, to recruit international students. A few years ago, our costs increased significantly with a new imposition of 20% VAT on commission costs. And as far as I can tell, what have we done as British institutions? We've just swallowed it whole. In our competitive fervour, we're too afraid to think about the costs involved in this, and we've simply swallowed those costs and not passed any of that on to the agents. And I think, you know, genuinely ask yourselves, if you want to be in this business that I hope is an ethical one, how far you're willing to go and how much you're willing to pay to beat the competition. Or maybe it's time for a more radical rethink of the way we work with agents. If we're to avoid the scandal of commission-based mis-selling that's taken place in other sectors, I genuinely think we're not very far away from what's happened in insurance and mortgage selling, commission-based selling in our universities today. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.